Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat.
They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.
Got him, boys.
105.1 FM, The Fan, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. If you haven't done so yet, go subscribe to our YouTube page. We've got cool videos up all throughout the week. You can watch every show that we have live on the air.
Mm.
You can go back, watch old segments. You can watch live shows. It's a great way to catch up, and you can see our ugly faces. So go subscribe to the YouTube channel if you've not done so yet.
You know what happens if you don't.
You know what does happen.
Let's go whoop their ass!
Yeah, we will whoop your ass. We will find you, and we will whoop your ass if you don't subscribe to our... Actually, that's not true.
Meet us at Irving Park.
Irving Park at noon, baby. I can't beat anybody up, so I'm not threatening anybody to a fight. Lots to get to in this hour. A bunch in the NFL that we have not talked about quite yet that I would like to get to. Let's continue on, though, what we were talking about in the last segment, and then there's another coach who failed miserably this weekend that I think we'd all love to take a moment just to kind of laugh at and point at, because that's always a fun thing to do. The Clemson thing is fascinating because Dabo last week comes out and has this emphatic press conference of we've won national championships. Really, the first time that, you know, things get rough, you want to run me out of town, you don't want me to coach here, I'll go coach somewhere else. Like, as defensive as he could possibly get.
Mm.
And then they lay an egg and lose at home to Syracuse, and they fall to 1-3. And I saw this point brought up over the weekend, and I thought, God, that I'm trying to find a way to figure out in my head, how is Clemson this bad? Like, we could have disagreed coming into the year, not you and I, because I had Clemson in the title game and you had them winning the whole thing. So it wasn't like I was out on them. But we could have debated, you know, other people said, well, you sure Clemson could win a title? I don't know about this, or I don't know about that. There's a difference between not being good enough to win a national championship and being 1-3 at the start of your year. Like, that's a big, 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 big difference than, hey, they went 10-2, they made the playoffs, but they weren't good enough to go beat a... insert the big program here because their talent wasn't quite there yet. I'm trying to figure out how the hell this team that on paper, when you look at it in terms of like NFL draft evaluators, they have all said there's first round talent all over this team. Like Kate Klubnik was a guy coming into the year, 4-year starter. They got a guy wide receiver. They got dudes on the defensive line. Like there is NFL talent on this team.
They might have 3 first round defensive players
yes.
on their
yes.
defense.
Yes, that's how talented first they round. Are. And they're 1-3.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody bring up the point this weekend. And I thought, you know what? That's an area or a way that I've never thought about it. We killed Dabo for not using the portal more to fill the holes on his roster. And that's a fair criticism. That wasn't the talking point coming into the year. The talking point coming into the year was, hey, he finally used it. He addressed some needs, and look at all this other talent that he developed. And somebody brought, I think it was Bud Elliott over the weekend who argued this of, does their lack of using the portal or threatening to use the portal create a lack of urgency amongst the roster that they know they're never at risk of losing their job, and the work ethic and drive that somebody could come in and compete with you is not on the table for them, and it leads to a complacency? Because I think we're all grasping at straws trying to figure out, again, whether you thought they were going to win the title or not. Nobody had Clemson 1-3 out of the gate. trying to figure out how they got here. And I, that was a way that I had not, that was an angle that I had not thought about yet of, does it create complacency amongst the locker room of, oh, we're good, there's no chance he's ever going to bring somebody in to replace us?
I don't mind the take there. It's certainly a theory, and I think at this point, any and all theories should be welcome as to how Clemson has gotten to this point. Now, will they correct it? We would all said that last week after his fiery press conference that, oh, Syracuse is at home, here we go.
Yeah, Syracuse isn't great this year.
And they struggled fine, mightily. But... like that offense, they had a moment at the very end. I don't know if you watched much of it, but it was over at this point, and Klubnik rolled out on fourth down, threw a ball behind his teammate, and he said, you know, he obviously, his reaction and the teammate's reaction kind of said all he needed to know.
Yeah.
And then I saw Garrett Riley looking up at the scoreboard, like squinting his eyes, and I went, yeah. certainly might be complacency, but I think that's kind of part of the entire conversation. If Dan Lanning, we just use the local example.
Sure.
If Dan Lanning looks at his roster and says, I've got freshman and sophomore defensive backs, but I can add a very experienced safety to the mix.
Dylan Thieneman, come on down.
Yeah, and then I'll mix in my youth with this. If you're not going to recruit at a top 10 level, and Clemson's always been in this kind of top 10-ish level, like using the 6 to 11 range.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to be in the top 5, well, you're seeing it with quarterback, right? 5 stars aren't always locks to be 5-star players. I think some can be said for other positions like that as well. And so if you're just, well, I high school recruit and I develop, okay, how has that been going for you the last couple years? Now, they got to the playoff last year, and you can say, well, this is an overreaction to 1-3. They got a new ACC title game backing into it.
They did.
Right? They were a 3-loss
team. Miami lost to Syracuse at the end of the year, and that's the reason Clemson got into the ACC.
It wasn't Clemson being a powerhouse in the ACC, no, which we didn't even view as a very good conference.
No, they won it because they played SMU in the conference title game.
You don't want to go way over your skis and say the guy's never going to be good again. I'm not there, but I do think any and every theory is very plausible for them. And maybe it is complacency. I just think other coaches that are doing it really well in the sport, whether they've won a title or not, they're always honest with themselves. Dylan Thieneman can help us now. I'll have other guys that I can get playing time in because we'll have some patsies on the schedule.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll be okay at that position next year. Quarterback. Well, am I ready for Novus ad? Dante may need a year of seasoning and he's willing to come off the bench. I'm going to go get 6-year starter Dylan Gabriel. Like, those coaches are the coaches that are being successful in that sport right now. You know the ones that aren't? The ones that refuse to address real holes on your roster. And I think part of that is complacency. I think the other is his system sucks. I do. Not his culture. I think his offensive system. When's the last time you were scared of a Clemson offense?
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence been in the NFL for a hot minute. He's almost checked out as a franchise NFL quarterback. Maybe Garrett's the guy, maybe he's not, but it doesn't. That system, there's something that reeks about their offense.
It is ugly right now, man. And we'll see if this thing continues to hit the side of the mountain. Like, are they this year's Florida State, where it just is a slow out of the gate? Guys kind of quit on everybody. There's not a lot to play for. They pack it in and go home. Cade Klubnik is supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks in the sport. He's completing barely 60% of his passes. He has 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. They have been lost. Everybody's trying to figure out what the hell happened and where they went sideways, and it never felt like a reality that he might be gone, and I'm still not there yet. We got to see how the rest of the season goes. But when you come out as strong-armed as he was last week at that press conference of, you think you can do better than this? You think you want to fire? You want me to go coach somewhere? Like, when you come out that hard-lined about how you have the answers and you're going to get this thing right and you're going to, like, hey, we do this. You guys do this all the time, first sign of trouble, first sign of adversity, and then you come out and you lay an egg at home to Syracuse? Now, the thing that they have going for them, mm-hmm. Do you know who Clemson's next game is against?
I don't.
Not talking about this.
No.
No.
Do we want to admit Sprague was right on this?
Their next game.
Should he have an NFL job, guys?
Based on this, no. I don't think that he should. I don't know anybody who watched this game this weekend.
I checked in.
Did you check in?
I didn't watch a lot. I just checked in
for you. What channel was this one on?
Great question. Don't remember. It was one of those YouTube...
flipping
TV,
around and the box pops up for you.
Bobbers. I will say, can Scott Frost coach, or is this just a weird, like, he can never lose at UCF thing? Because I don't know how to view any of this.
So I actually saw a funny thing on that. I think Scott Frost is now like 17-0 in his last 17 games at Central Florida.
Yes.
They have not lost this year. They played North Carolina this week, Central Florida did. And remember, Bill Belichick last week, who did he say that he was playing? He said we're playing Central or something. He didn't even know the name of the school during his press conference. I'll have to go find that. Maybe a listener can help. But he said something along those lines. Everybody's like, do you know who you're playing this week?
So he was like, we're on to Central, whoever.
Yeah, it was something along those lines, and everybody made fun of him for not knowing. They lost 34-9. North Carolina falls to 2-2 on the year. It was ugly. Lost Lopez to an injury. Their two wins on the season are against Charlotte and Richmond. So the two times they played in a Division I football team, they lost 48-14 to TCU and 34-9 to Central Florida. To my point a moment ago, their next games are against Clemson and on the road at Cal.
Bet he had a wild night with Jordan because he beat the 49ers.
And they're this was a Fox game?
Yeah.
Dear God. Are we done with the TV experiment of watching Bill Belichick? I would have hoped the first game would have done that. Let's not. They should be on the CW the rest of the year, if we're being fair here.
Well.
There's viral videos of him basically hugging up to Jordan Hudson on the sideline.
Give her a little smoochy hugger.
Giving smoochies and hugs prior to the game.
Yeah.
She's like holding the door open for the locker room. Look, this thing's only going to continue to get worse, and I got to be honest with you, man. I'm here for every second of it. This is going to be a fun hate watch for me for the rest of the year. Well, that guy had a stranglehold on the NFL for 20 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I had to watch his stupid team win Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl.
Sometimes in stupid fashion.
Fashion, like 10-9 or whatever the score was against the Rams.
Or the Falcon 28-3 comeback. Yeah.
Or the blatantly cheating against the greatest show on turf that we all just kind of moved on from. So after watching him dominate the sport and ruin my love of the NFL, I ruin it, but you get what I'm trying to say. Watching them get their teeth kicked in week in and week out, it's going to be a lot of fun this year in North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm kind of to a point with this where it was fairly obvious this guy was no longer great. I think you can look at how it ended in New England, and I think at that point you can conclude he lost his fastball, and he didn't have much of a curve. He had no real offense his last couple Brady years, and then that didn't get any better post-Brady as Brady went to Tampa and had a career resurgence for 2 years, including winning a Super Bowl. So there was no indication to me that he was suddenly going to be good again. And then this Hudson thing happened, and I'm just like, imagine 2009 him looking at 2025 him on like a TV. Yeah. He would have been like, well, I'm not going to win. He would have told you that outright.
Yes.
But he's living his best life, and I'm not mad at him for living his best life with a smoke show of 20-something, but that's not how that guy got successful. That guy was a regimented red ass who needed to not show any indication he had a private life, and once all of that started happening, I didn't buy it, and I don't blame USC for diving in, but luckily for them, the buyout is almost nothing.
Yes.
This is so bad. I'm wondering how many more games they win the rest of the year. It's so bad that I'm kicking around. Are they going to fire him before the season's over?
I believe the buyout, and I will have to check this, but we were talking about it before the show. I think the buyout's only $1 million. Because remember, he wanted that in his contract just in case an NFL team came calling, and there was a thing in there like after July 1st, his buyout went down to $1 million.
So that was on. So I'm trying to find the clear cut details. I don't know if that's just for him with the NFL, because I think that was specifically about if an NFL job happens.
Okay, so maybe there was a caveat in there for that.
After June 1st, I'm trying to find exactly what his buyout is right now.
Yeah, I think you're seeing this example kind of play out this year at Colorado, and we'll see how the rest of the year goes. But you get these boom or bust coaches, but at least with Deion, he had one of the best players in the sport, actually last year, technically based on the award. He had the Heisman Trophy winner on his team. Like, he had that going for him. I think the next couple of years are going to be rough for him because he doesn't take recruiting as seriously. It's not a 365-day-a-year job like it is for the majority of the sickos who coach this sport.
That might be for both, by
for
the way.
For both. So that, if the buyout's $1 million, they can fire him literally at any time. Like, that's chump change for North Carolina. They'll come up with it. You're old. You're more interested in kissing your girlfriend on the sideline. You're not willing to put the time in to out-recruit teams in your conference and let alone the best in the country. Like, this is not going to end well. If he had a sans Jordan Hudson life and he was more interested in spending the time recruiting and truly building the program the way that he should, I'd give it maybe the benefit of the doubt because of what he'd done in his career. But he's more interested in his, kissing his girlfriend on the sideline than he is in coaching his football team.
But we knew that going into it. And that's why I was puzzled by the reaction to him getting that gig. He hired Freddie Kitchens as an OC. Like,
there's just no indication. And by the way, fair or not fair, and I tend to think it's not fair, it takes a partnership. It's not even a debate for people anymore that Brady, not Belichick.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
Not talking about this.
Like,
No.
Not a debate. But we know that the reality is without the defense,
it's a partnership,
Brady,
and they don't win them all without the other one. There's no doubt about that. But ugly weekend for North Carolina and Clemson play. The next time they each hit the field, I don't know if it's this weekend or next weekend. Nobody cares if it's this weekend because it's a great slate of college football.
Are they the worst team in the ACC?
Is North Carolina?
I mean, I think it's worth asking, is it not? Like, could they beat Virginia Tech?
Boston College got housed by Stanford.
Yeah.
Wake Forest is pretty bad.
But I saw Boston College almost beat Michigan State in Michigan State.
They did. Virginia Tech got killed by Old Dominion.
Yeah. And Clemson's technically last place in the conference.
Pitt couldn't beat West Virginia in year one under Rich Rodriguez.
Cal lost to San Diego State.
They did.
God,
so
ACC, what are you?
We'll see. We'll see how the rest of the year
shakes out.
Feels
like you're Miami, Georgia Tech, and that's kind of it.
That seems like about it. Miami's going to win that conference.
Or Florida State.
I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you right now. Miami's going to win the ACC. How about that?
Are they going to beat Florida State?
I think that they will. But we can talk about Miami because they had another nice win. I want to dive back into some NFL stuff, including a comeback from one quarterback over the weekend, a couple of questionable outcomes from the weekend, and another team continues to win somehow, somewhere. Let's dive back into some NFL stuff. We'll do it next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 8:20 on your Monday morning. We'll dive back into the Civil War in the final hour. We had thoughts coming in. Want to read one text that came in. We'll get to that in a bit.
You get into the Dame rally?
I mean, the Dame rally.
I'm here!
Yeah, baby!
See you in a year.
Yeah. Shouldn't it be more of a rally upon his return to the court?
Well, I think it's no, because he's meant a lot off the court.
I get it, mm-hmm. But we're also not going to watch him play this year. So he's back, but he's technically back, but not really back.
Mm.
I just like him, like, hey, I'm playing my first game in a couple of weeks in a Blazer uniform. I could see that being more of a rally.
I find more like
we love doing rallies in Portland, don't we? We love getting over to Pioneer Square.
We haven't had much to rally about in our hellhole of a city.
No, we have not.
But, I see some of the division created. Not that division isn't existing every day in our lives if you're on the internet. But I saw like a couple of accounts where like Clyde Drexler would never be able to have this kind of movement. And I'm like, why? Why do we need to do this? Why can't we love everybody?
Hey, you know, Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus.
Thanks, buddy.
Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. You ever heard of it? This season, wait for it. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet.
What?
Forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. You can stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st. That's yesterday. It's streamable now.
Yeah.
Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Adversities? Did you say adversities? Or
what did I say?
I think it's
adversaries. What did I say? Adversities?
It sounded like you said adversities.
Well, adversaries are also adversity. Are they not?
In human
grammar form. Guy? Grammar guy? Are they not? Technically? Is it not technically an adversity? Thank you. If there was a description of one team and who they have been for 98% of my life.
98%
of my life. There's
2% where they haven't?
2%. There's only 2% where they haven't been this team.
Okay.
Every other year of my lifetime, they have been this team. I would point to the box score and who was playing and not playing and show you the final score of this weekend. And that team, ladies and gentlemen, would be the Arizona Cardinals. This is the Arizona Cardinals are playing the 49ers this weekend without their starting quarterback. The Niners have essentially nobody healthy on offense. Bosa leaves the game. They thought at the moment it was an ACL.
They also lost their rookie defensive lineman for a few possessions in Micah Williams.
There's nobody available. Yeah. They have a lead in the fourth quarter. Yeah. You're 2-0. You're on the brink of going 3-0 and being in solo first place in the NFC West. And what happened?
Well, you got a safety with 3 minutes
to
go.
They got a safety.
And you got the ball back.
And they got the ball back. Yeah. And they couldn't ice the game.
I know.
And the Niners kick a game-winning field goal. Somehow, some way, I don't know how, the 49ers, largely because they played the Cardinals and the Saints. That's how the Niners are 3-0.
Well, there's also a good win in there.
There is. Because
I don't omit that one good win.
Start of the year. I just, this one to me, like, hey, every offseason, should we take the Cardinals seriously this year? No, we should never take the Cardinals. Outside of 1 year with Kurt Warner, this is who they've been my entire life. They're not a serious organization, and if you can't beat the Niners in this moment, you don't belong in any sort of conversation.
Very fair point. That that division is 9-3 right now.
That is a 9.
So I want to offer.
And I would argue it should be 10-2 because the Rams probably should have won the game yesterday.
I don't disagree with you. So for all the haters of the NFC West, who's laughing now, 9-3 is this. Start to the year. Look, I'm a Niner fan, and I'm sitting there not having no idea how they won it. Mac Jones hurt his knee.
He did. He had a torn jersey, like, from the first series on. I'm like, are we going to get this guy a new jersey out here?
Those are some of the sickest little throwbacks in football, and somehow he looked awful in that uniform.
He looks awful in every uniform. They asked him about the interception after the game, and he laughed. He was like, well, I threw it right to the guy. It wasn't like it was a nice player.
Well,
anything.
He stopped staring down Ricky Pearsall and throw it to Kendrick Bourne for an easy first down. Pearsall had a sick catch in this game. Kyler Murray, I was texting with Nemec because Nemec's a diehard Niner fan, and I said, Kyler Murray always just plays well against the Niners. And he goes, it feels like he's 20% better against us versus the rest of the league. And I said, up that to 60. Because he's a very mid quarterback.
Yeah.
Then he plays the Niners, and he has these random plays where I'm like, damn it, dude. I don't know how they won it. I really don't. Baffling back and forth game. The fact that they're 3-0 is laughable. They can make a real argument they should be 0-3.
They very easily could be 0-3.
The injury bug continues to bite them. They'll probably be without Bosa now for a couple weeks because it wasn't a torn ACL, but it didn't look good.
No, he's not going to be out for the rest of the year at least, but he's going to be out for a while.
I don't know if Brock Purdy's coming back or if they're going to have to trot out Mac Jones. My team almost played Adrian Martinez at quarterback.
I still think they would have won the game. That's how bad I think the Cardinals are. I still think they find a way to win the game.
Their new kicker, Eddie Pinheiro, hit the game winner. Did you see his celebration?
Talking all sorts of ass after that
kick. He did the Jabbar Muhammad square thumbs down at the Cardinals. When a kicker does that to you, you're in a bad spot.
What's worse, Pete Weber doing that on a bowling alley or Pinheiro doing it after kicking a game-winning field goal?
Pinheiro. Definitely has to be a kicker. Yeah.
That one was so funny to me from yesterday. That afternoon slate, like the Charger-Bronco game, which I want to talk about a little bit more in a moment.
Oh, the Duck Bowl.
That ended up being a really good game. The rest of that afternoon slate, though, like Seattle was up 800-0 at the end of the first quarter on New Orleans. That game was over. The Dallas Cowboys have the worst defense in the history of the NFL. So that game was over. It felt like pretty early on. And then you had that Niner game in there. And it's like, this is ugly, but at least it's competitive.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're 3-0. I haven't quite figured that out. But my bigger takeaway from the weekend was the Cardinals are not a serious organization. And that's why we don't take them seriously. Those are games you got Mac Jones at quarterback. Nobody's healthy on the other side. You're 2-0. You got to go find a way to win that game. And they couldn't do it. Now they play Seattle on Thursday night. No primetime on Thursday. We get a NFC West showdown. Cardinals and Seahawks.
Is that in Arizona?
Yes.
In Arizona.
That's a fascinating game. It's not
that's
a great game on paper.
That's where crazy crap happens.
It is. We've seen Thursday some weird dumb stuff games in Arizona between these two. And Seattle's coming off of the biggest, well, them are the Vikings, of the biggest beatdown of the weekend. And now they're feeling great. All the radio shows today are singing their praises.
Here they come. They upgraded a quarterback, clearly. It's not a debate. What was the vibe like at, what is that?
Lumen. Very little black and gold.
Not a
so
lot of Saints fans.
It was a true home game. They were up to the rafters, so everybody was there ready to go right at 105.
What is the smallest fan base of an NFL franchise?
See, I don't think the Saints even are necessarily that. I think the Saints thing is more about like the Oregon State spot from this weekend of like, why would you spend
all that money to travel to Seattle with that
to
team?
To go to Seattle and see a cool stadium.
Yeah, but you live in New Orleans, so.
Yeah, I don't think
there's
a lot
of. You don't think Seattle's cool?
I do think Seattle's cool. I just think
I don't
people
know if
from
I'm a
New
Saints
Orleans
fan. If
would
I'm
be like, why I'm, you know,
planning my vacations around watching my football.
Not
team.
For that one.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't have to be like all your vacations.
I think Jacksonville certainly. Well, it's either the Jags or the Chargers have the fewest fans in the NFL. Probably the Chargers.
Yeah. It was a big old party up there. Everybody was in a good mood, and then Drew Lock came in the fourth quarter, and that allowed everybody to leave early so they could get home in front of their TV sets before the Mariners-Astro game.
Why would they have watched
that? They made it that home that quick. Oh, I guess if you live in Seattle, yeah, touche. Yeah. You had to drive back from
or
Seattle.
Get to another watering hole or whatever.
Yeah, to go
it
watch
was the
that
Sunday
game.
Night
first
game
place up. Mariners, by the way.
First
that
place Mariners.
Magic number is three.
Look at that.
Huskies won, the Mariners swept, and the Seahawks stomped the Saints. And the Storm fired their coach.
They did? Is that a big deal?
Well, she had allegations against her going into the season that she was kind of like a...
But no, the vibe was good all weekend in Seattle.
I mean, that was as thorough of ass-kicking as you'll see. You don't see a lot of games that are 38-6 at the half of an NFL score. But you
it
just
was
don't
quick,
see
too.
That was a game that's what I thought we were going to see on Thursday night between the Dolphins and the Bills. Like, that's the kind of score that we thought it was going to be.
That's what I thought you were going to see.
Like, all right, that game's over at halftime. I don't need to watch any
you
of this in the second half.
You return a punt 95 yards, you block a punt, you know...
JSN's making great catches. Yeah. You're feeling good, right? Not a lot from that game. New Orleans. Who's the worst team in the NFL for you guys? Number one pick bet right now if you got to make it. Saints?
Titans
or
are
Titans?
Pretty bad.
Titans.
Is there any other candidates other than the Saints
or
Titans?
Well, the Falcons after that performance. But
the Falcons got to win, right?
They have too much talent to be that bad.
Are we talking like they're going to play their best when they play the other 0 for teams?
No. I'm just saying, like, if you had to put a bet right now on who gets the number one overall pick, I don't know if that's a prop that you can find on DraftKings, but like, here's $10, put money on this team to get the number one pick.
I think Giants
in there?
Answer is the Titans.
As long as the Giants keep throwing Russell Wilson out there, yes.
We've also forgotten in this conversation about the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yeah, Jets are feisty with Aaron Glenn. He's doing little bit of a celebration after the field goal block. Did you like that?
I loved that. I mean, I didn't love that because it almost eliminated me from a survivor pool, so I was not very happy watching that block field goal return.
I think the answer is, truthfully, I think it's going to be the Titans just because of the lack of stuff around Ward, and Ward is a rookie.
Yeah.
The Giants have lost 17 of their last 20.
That's pretty bad. Also, what does their season do when they inevitably bench Russell Wilson and put Jackson Dart in, which we all know is going to happen? Is it next week? Is it the week after that? Is it in 3 weeks? At some point, Jackson Dart will be their starting quarterback.
I don't know, Mike.
It's going to happen. I don't know. So there you go. A little thought on some of the other games in the NFL this weekend. The Cardinals are exactly who we thought they were, and the Saints might be the worst team in the NFL. They're at least in the running. NFC West, though, to Sprague's point, having a decent... Everybody's above 500 in the NFC West, and I did not see that being the storyline three weeks into the year.
I think it's the only division in football that has that.
You are correct.
It is.
You're correct. The AFC East has two winless teams. The Jets and Dolphins are a combined 0-6. Yeesh, that's not good, Bob.
Suddenly you look at that and you go, okay, the Bills have won their division. I would argue, and I know they got a big one tonight, I think the Ravens have won their division. The Colts might have won their division.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that already feel over. Definitely.
You know the division I feel the weirdest about is the AFC West. And I thought it was the best division, and I feel just weird about
it. Let's talk about that a little bit next. So the Raiders lay an egg this weekend. The Chargers get another win. The Broncos damn near pulled off that win, which would have been huge for them, and the Chiefs are on the board. Let's dive in a little bit of that and the Duck Bowl reaction. That's next. People wondering if I'm going to do that after watching Jalen Hurts yesterday. The answer is no. We die on a petty hill here.
Really?
Yeah, dude. He had 20 passing yards at halftime.
What'd he do when they were behind, though?
He led a comeback. He was great in the second half.
209 yards. He had three touchdowns. No picks.
Yeah, threw his first touchdown passes of the year in week three.
Look, it was a bad weekend in two ways because of the bad beat and then also all your Hurts comments from a week ago. But what I would say, though, is also if I was an Eagle fan, aside from wanting to dunk on you on a text line.
You know the entire first half, if you're an Eagles fan, you were thinking to yourself, God, Dirt's written. For the entire first half, that's all you were thinking to
there's
yourself.
A big part of that, but he's also won a Super Bowl, so there's a little bit of like mix, right?
Who cares? Your team's winning. Who cares how I feel about Jalen Hurts?
Like, if I were doing a radio show at WIP today, I'm not killing the guy on air because we won the game and he played really well, but I would be saying out loud, yeah, that's why you throw to A.J. Brown.
Yeah, why is A.J. Brown not getting more targets? How many times did he catch a ball and, like, shove a defensive back to the ground?
He was unbelievable.
And pick up another 25 yards after contact and after catch.
Like, he was giving them catchable balls, but he was also catching with, like, tight windows and real close defenders on him and just, you know, stiff-arming him. I'm like, yeah, dude, stop just not doing that and start throwing him the football.
I also look, I'm obviously jaded here because I gambled the Rams plus 3.5. Does anybody else, like, does the hatred of them grow every week? Like, I know it's in Swag's DNA as a former Cowboy fan. The whole, like, we're going to tighten up the way we call the tush push thing last week. We talked about it on Friday. That was a big memo to Mr.
They didn't do that.
No. They sent it to Mr. PR himself, Adam Schefter. Hey, put this out there. We're going to tighten all this up. Schefter runs to the masses and tweets it out. They're tightening this up. All the officials got first tush push of the game. The two guards
false
jump
start.
Off sides.
Yeah.
On a third down, they convert it and no flag. They even go to Pereira live on Fox. Hey, Mike. Well, yeah, look at that. Both guards jumped off sides. And then on the, like, I think it was the Rams' first drive in the red zone of the game. I'm just yelling at my television at this point. They got called for a hold inside the 10. I'm like, oh, yeah, so we'll call that. So they got to kick a field goal. But the Eagles could jump off sides and get a first down. My hatred of them
grows
every week.
They're going to have to start publicly suspending referees.
That's never going to happen.
Stop.
It's not going to happen.
They're not going to do it.
I don't care about this. I just, this whole idea, this facade last week of like, we're going to take this very seriously, guys. We promise
well,
we're going to button down now.
There's the reverse conspiracy theory that says we're going to say this, then we're not going to do it to force two more owners to get sick of it and vote it out.
Okay. I can buy that theory.
Yeah.
Well, you,
it will get banned.
I mean, if we're going deep into the
tinfoil
hats here,
yeah.
I just, you are in the worst possible spot a person can be in football. You gambled against him after all the comments, and then you had a bad beat. And then we got the stat of his second half numbers, 221, three touchdowns, game-winning touchdown pass on fourth and goal, completing a 19-point comeback, and they're 17-0 in their last 17.
They win a lot of games, man.
With him as a starter. 17-0
in
his last 17 starts.
Yeah, because I think one of the games that I think it's games that he played, because he got knocked out pretty early in that Commander game at the end of last year.
17-0 in his last 17 starts. That's a full season.
They started the game, though, against the Commanders last year. Didn't they lose that game?
I'm just telling you, the stat is he's 17-0 in his last 17 starts.
I don't know if I'm buying that stat.
Right. I'm questioning that Eagles fan central.
I think I'm questioning Eagle fan central.
Okay. Keep questioning Jalen Hurts.
I will.
Hater.
I'm not questioning the Eagles as a team. They're the best team in the NFL. I'm questioning Jalen Hurts.
What's in that mug over there? Is that ice cold Haterade?
It is. And they lost
week 16.
He started last week or last year in week 16 against the Commanders and they lost. So that's not a true stat.
Telling you what the stat says, man.
He was 1 of 4. He got knocked out in the first quarter. They gave up 22 points in the fourth quarter, and they lost 36-33.
Why don't you put some respect on his name?
Technically, in games that he started, they lost one last year.
Keep finding loopholes, man. In his last 17 starts in which he completes the game as the starting quarterback.
There we go.
He's the starting quarterback.
That is 17 the starting. Yeah, got it. Okay, followed through there. Well, you can point out where Dirt was wrong with that one. I'll continue to die on that hill. He's not very good. The team is phenomenal. Where Dirt was right, though, is there is only one team in the AFC West that's above 500. You know what team that is?
No.
The LA Chargers.
How about that?
They're the only team above 500. Did you not hear what I said there?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I was trying to follow up.
I was like, that's a pretty easy one to the answer. There's only one team above 500 in the AFC West. Do you know what team that is?
Yeah, it's the LA Chargers.
Hey, there you go. The LA Chargers.
You know that?
I did not know that.
Chargers 3-0.
Now I know that. The touchdown pass that Herbert threw to tie the game off of jumping off of his right leg sideways.
Fading left as a defender hit his arm and he flings it under the arm.
Somehow to Keenan Allen.
That was unbelievable. Yeah.
That was one of those throws that just makes you go, holy shnikes.
I thought you saw the difference. I thought, obviously, I already knew Herbert was better than Nick's, but like if you watched the game, you went, yeah.
That one,
that's the difference.
There's not many guys in the NFL that can do what Justin Herbert did on that play, and he was outstanding again. They had a game where Najee Harris goes down with an Achilles injury, it appeared. I don't know if they've announced that yet, but he's probably done for the year. So they're going to have to lean on Amarion Hampton. That one, to me, if I were a Bronco fan, would have been pretty, that's a crushing loss, because I thought their defense was phenomenal, dude. They were in Herbert's kitchen the entire, there was a play where whoever was at right guard for the Chargers, literally upon the snap, the guy puts his hands into his chest and just shoves him backwards. And the guard's like doing the like flail thing on the ground. And the guy just jumps over him and sacks Herbert. Like they had moments as a defense where they showed you this is how dominant and physical that we can be. I thought Peyton did a great job of dialing up some looks. That fourth down where they did the fake toss and hit the long touchdown.
There was
some really smart play calls in there. Dobbins had a good game running the ball. I know a lot of it came on one carry, but he had a decent day running. Like they had the lead. They felt felt like they had taken control, and then you let it slip through your fingers at the end, giving up 10 points in the fourth quarter. That would have been a pretty demoralizing loss if I were a Broncos
Benito
fan.
Made Alt look a little human.
He absolutely. Their defensive line dominated that football game, and they still didn't win.
I thought just watching that game, Herbert looked like a guy just escaping for his life every other play and somehow making a play when they needed to. He is just, he is absolutely in the MVP conversation. I know it's hard to pass an Allen and a Lamar, but I think he's in the 5 or 6 to 1 range right now. So he's still got some pretty good value. If they win that division and they end up with like 12 to 13 wins, he really might have some real juice there to be able to win that and get some of that consideration. McConkey's good. We know this, right?
Yes. Quentin Johnson, by the way, is having a really good year.
He's having a great year so far. Yeah. I still look at them and go, he doesn't have a number one. Keenan Allen is the only, I'll give you an NFL factoid on a Monday.
Ooh, a Monday factoid.
Keenan Allen, back at a Charger, is the only receiver in the entire National Football League to have at least 60-plus receiving yards and a touchdown in every game. Like, Keenan Allen has found life with the Chargers again.
That was a signing that I wrongfully poo-pooed in the offseason of like, oh yeah, this is going to work out for you, an aging Keenan Allen. That's the answer you need at wide receiver.
I still worry about their targets and what that's going to be when you get to the postseason, but he just was unbelievable yesterday.
That was a great game.
Yeah. Comes down to the wire. It's absolutely a Charger missed field goal game in the past.
Oh, without a doubt.
But the culture's changed. They're buying into everything. And now you need to ask yourself in Denver, Nick's talked about it. Peyton talked about it a little bit. He's missing some of these throws.
He had a deep ball late in that game that could have almost iced it that he overthrew just by a hair and allowed the Chargers the opportunity.
I don't want to ruin NFL Factoid Tuesday, but I got some stuff on this that I'm going to carry over tomorrow. And there's some offensive question marks, I would say, about Denver. The Dobbins touchdown, by the way, was one of those rare, you're watching it happen and you go, he scored a touchdown?
How did that
happen? He did score a touchdown.
Yeah, he did.
That was weird.
Yes, it was.
Just broke it, you know, was right on the sideline, kept his feet in, and got in. But great game, and Herbert continues to have the MVP season.
Here's what I'll say about the Broncos. I do think their defense is the real deal. I think they got a quarterback in year two who's just going to go through his highs and his lows. Like, that should have been the thought coming into the year. I thought maybe some of the preseason stuff was over at skis a little bit. Not that they couldn't be a playoff team, because they were last year. But that's just like, there's a different level of jump to go from, hey, we're a playoff team, to we're a legitimate contender. And I don't think they're there quite yet with a quarterback in year two.
Well, their coach is the one that put it on him. He said they're a Super Bowl team.
He absolutely did.
They continue to have special team blunders.
There's a lot of special team blunders. But here's what I would say in the positive for them. Like, their schedule over the next 6 weeks, manageable. The Colts loss continues to not look as bad.
I have no idea if that's true.
Look, totally fair. They get the Bengals at home this weekend. That I think that defense will eat Browning alive, but we'll see. Then you go on the road to Philly. That's a tough game, no doubt about it. Then the next month you play the Jets at home, the Giants at home, the Cowboys at home, and on the road at the Texans. So, like, I don't know if they're going to win all those. This is the NFL. The Browns just showed you again that any given Sunday, anything can happen. I'm just saying, like, I think, like, the Colts might end up being the real deal, which we're all going to have egg on our face if that is the case. And I think the Chargers are one of the best teams in the AFC and are legit defensively, and they showed that again this weekend.
I think what you would say taking away so far early, very, very early, is the Raiders might be the worst in the division, and three teams can make the playoffs in that division.
Yes, without a doubt. Without a doubt, I agree with that take. The Raiders, boy, oh boy, that was ugly this weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's get to an update on this. Did it happen? And a little check-in, and then we'll get back into the Civil War coming up at the top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Get back into the Civil War coming up top of the hour. If you got any thoughts on that, fire them away. Fan text line 503-864-6326.
Poll question is up, by the way. Should Trent Bray be coaching for his job this weekend? 22.4% of you are saying no. Can you just give me why?
No matter the outcome of the game, they lose the game 42-10 at home to Houston on Friday night, and that's not...
You're 0-5.
What's the crowd going to be like Friday night? Like, that's a whole other category of this, like, where it's not all on Bray, but you got to do something to get, like, excitement back and people, like, you got to make money and put butts in the seats.
Yeah, man, and it's not a great time to want to just spend all your money, especially for an 0-4 team.
No, it's not, especially for a 7:30 game on a Friday night where a lot of kids are playing high school football.
Get home at midnight, 1 a.m.
So that's a whole other part of this. Let's quickly give the flowers to the Seattle Mariners for sweeping the Houston Astros this weekend. They will win their first division since 2001.
Are you giving it to them?
I mean, it's over.
I think they have six games, right?
The season is over.
Okay.
The season. You got, what are they, up four games in the division now?
Three.
Three games in
the
division?
They're up three, exactly.
Like, they're not.
They were tied going in.
The division's over. They've won the division. Congratulations.
Houston stumbled a little bit in the back half of this schedule, but they handled their business this weekend, including winning on Sunday Night Baseball.
And now we wait and see, where does the final seeding look? And do they get a bye? And do they play in Wild Card Weekend? They got a lead right now on the Tigers. They're two games up on Detroit, who might blow their own division in the AL Central.
And the dumper owns the record.
He owns the Mariner record.
He passed Griffey.
And he might hit 60.
I mean,
how many did Judge end with the other year?
63.
In his fake home run record?
62.
62.
He's four from the record.
And how many games do they have left?
They have six, and the first three are against the Rockies at home.
Dude, if he can get a couple and...
If he hits
two, like, was that today? Do they play today?
No, they're off today, so...
If he hits two tomorrow, that becomes home run watch the rest of the year.
If the Rockies just... They're calling up kids, or they have a bullpen game or something.
The Rockies are terrible.
If he hits five... Hits five more and finishes with 62. How can you in good conscience not give him the MVP?
I don't know at that point.
You're still going to point to like
60
OPS hell.
I would argue he should already have it now. But if he gets a 60, especially, he has to win.
If they win the division
and he hits 60 home runs,
they get a first. They're not in the wild card series.
First division title since 2001
in 25 years,
passing Maris. And then they get
leads
a bye.
The league in home runs and RBI.
How would you not get the MVP?
And
you play every day defensively.
Yeah, and you're a pretty good defensive catcher as well.
Maybe the best.
It felt like it was going to be their weekend. They were playing good ball coming in. The series went over the Braves, swept the Cardinals, they were trending in the right direction. The Astros were trending in the wrong direction, and that lived itself out. What did they score? Seven runs in the second inning last night.
That's all they needed.
Boom! Immediately you're up 7-0. You're like, all right, I don't even watch any of this game.
Too early.
Did they pick it in the right room?
I'm telling you, as a baseball fan,
division's over. There's no doubt. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the playoffs. There's no rhyme or reason why anything happens in baseball postseason, which is why the baseball postseason is great. None of it makes sense.
But as a Braves fan, I've absolutely had the thought.
Yes.
Are we doing too much
now? Hold it, guys. Hold it.
Stop scoring all your
runs.
No
more home runs the rest of the year. Save them all for October. So that happened to baseball. Give them their flowers. Did we watch Nottingham Forest?
Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham? Did Nottingham?
Nottingham.
Was Nottingham on the TV?
That H is kind of silent in that. Yeah. Nottingham Forest was on Premier League television.
America, we do what we want.
Yeah. We drew 1-1.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a great, stellar start. It was pissing rain.
Nice. Did you feel good wasting 2 hours of your life to watch a tie?
I'll say this. I am watching the, like, have you seen that meme where the guys lean back and then he leans forward meme? That was kind of me on Saturday morning. I'm up early anyway.
Sure.
It's nice to have sports on.
7 a.m. It is nice.
I think I'd rather watch that than watch McAfee dance on a chair.
I was driving down to Eugene and I saw the text pop up. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. It's early in the morning.
Premier League soccer. Look, if you're going to draw, okay. A draw is not the worst possible outcome. We need more points for the table.
We need more table points.
We need points.
What's the table mean? What is the table?
The standings.
Table is the standings. Yeah. You have tables and fixtures as opposed to standings
like
and games.
A fixture? What's a fixture?
A fixture is a game.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. That pitch was a little wet, a little slick.
A little muddy track.
And I didn't like the kit.
I don't like the all-white kit. They got red in their uniforms. Like, put more of it on for me, but it was a nice little start for Nottingham Forest fandom.
How did your front-running Tottenham Spurs do this weekend, Swag?
Since when has Tottenham been front-running? That's what I would like to know from anybody. You were accused of somebody. Anybody.
People are saying you're a front-runner.
No, of being a front-runner for being a Tottenham fan.
No. All right.
What front-runner business, they like, they're good, and then they're very similar to the Chargers. They would put themselves an opportunity to do something and then tank.
Can I share one Premier League thought?
We got to go.
I'll go ahead.
We got to go. Somebody said my favorite old joke is if I wanted to watch a bunch of guys run around and not score, I'd take my friends to the bar.
That's a good one.
You know, there's better ways to spend your Saturday morning, but to each their own.
Winning football.
I didn't know what
football.
The color analyst was saying at all during my game.
He's just like doing all, it's like a British accent.
He's got a British accent, and he's just, you know, they got to kind of move it over there. You got to move the deal, pass to the left, you got to run it, and you're running it, and you're running it.
You need Mark Hamilton here to be your translator of what are they talking about right now? I'm a little confused.
What are they talking about?
All right, so we actually watch. We'll check in. We'll see how long that lasts. Lots to get to in the final hour. Let's get back into the Civil War. Your thoughts on the game. Should it continue? How did you feel? Was it as dead to you as it was to me? Final hour is next on 105.1 FM The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.